It's a Fransky Friday. Scott Fransky, sponsored by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm, as we are live today from Chickie's and Pete's in South Philly. Scott. From somewhere in Detroit, as the Phillies finish the first half. Long road trip, and it ends tonight, or this weekend, with a series against the Tigers. Scott, how you doing today?
Scott.
Well, I'm okay. We had a little late arrival here, believe it or not, but we're all here. We're in Michigan, and we're ready to go.
Well, I'm glad you're there and glad the team is, and hopefully a good ending to the first half here, Scott. A win last night behind Jesus Luzardo. But let's just start with one of the bigger stories of the week. Zach Wheeler, no All-Star game, getting snubbed. It really, Scott, it felt like multiple times, so just the way it went. I know a lot of this is the rule because he's pitching Sunday, but he was adamant and pretty passionate the other night after his start, how much he wanted it. What did you make of the whole week and the fact that still Zach Wheeler's not going to be an All-Star?
I don't like it. I don't like the rule. I don't like I just don't see why you can't just name him and replace him. The All-Star game, it's changed a lot over the years in terms of the size of the roster and the ability of these guys to play or pitch. You know, I mean, it used to be if you were a starter and you were in the game, you're going to be in the game for two at-bats, three at-bats maybe, and then some reserves would come in. It doesn't work like that anymore, so I get it, but I do think I just think there's got to be a way that you can just simply name the guy. If you think he's worthy, you name the guy and then replace him. And, you know, Zach said himself, he said, I can pitch. I pitch all the time 2 days after I pitch a game. I throw in the bullpen, so it's not that big a deal. But I don't see how you can name – they end up with rosters that are, 60, 65 names or whatever. And it's like, just name him. Name him an All-Star because you know he is.
Is it too late in the game to kind of change that rule, Scott? And what I mean by that is, like, being it's Friday, is it too late for MLB to kind of say, hey, we made a mistake, whatever they want to say, and put him on the roster?
I don't think it's too late. I think they can always – they can do whatever they want. If somebody got hurt – tonight, they would replace him, tomorrow, the next, they would replace him. I do think we're getting to the end of the line here, by Saturday, let's say, but I think there would still be time. And in Zach's case, he's flying back to Philadelphia on Sunday from Detroit, so we'll bring him.
he's on the plane.
Not an issue. Yeah. He's already got a seat on the plane, so.
Scott, Wheeler or not, and I hope they do find a way to get in there because he deserves it and it'd be a cool moment. The Phillies are going to have six All-Stars. I mean, they could have seven if they find a way to get Zach Wheeler on this roster, which is more than any team in baseball, Scott. And, watching last night, listening to you guys and the Luzardo start, it really kind of has framed this week between the Wheeler thing and now Luzardo just how high-end, Scott, the best players on this team are. Like, when you have more All-Stars than anyone, it says something. And I think all these guys that we're talking about this year, they're all deserving. Like, there's no Philly All-Star. You look at their stats like, No, all of them are All-Stars this season, including Luzardo last night. Scott, when you watched Luzardo last night, it just kind of hit me. I'm not sure how you felt watching him. Boy, this rotation, the top three, when they're on, they really are the best. They could be the best top three in all of baseball.
They could be. I haven't seen a trio that's necessarily better. I mean, obviously the Dodgers, when healthy, but not always healthy. That's the other thing about this trio is that they're durable. They've been durable. They bounce back. They eat up innings. They take the ball. They seem fresh. They seem strong. I think they're just the number of strikeouts is certainly eye popping, but the way they pitch, the competitiveness with which they pitch, I think it's a great trio. I think obviously the Phillies think all three are deserving of an All-Star nod, and I think we all know that they are. And it's fun to watch. It really is. I mean, obviously they need to get some other guys going. You mentioned it's high end. And then there's a gap, and they need to fill in some of those gaps.
You know what, Scott? We were talking earlier, and I guess Bryce Harper had an idea about bringing aluminum bats for the last 20 hits in the All-Star game.
For the gold ball for the home
for the gold ball in the home run derby. How do you feel about them adding aluminum bats if that was the case to the gold ball derby?
Okay, so just to be clear, that's not the case, right?
No, it's not the case. He was like, I guess he's trying to spice it up.
Yeah, it's an idea he had, yeah, that he relayed to Buster only.
I don't know. I mean, what, just so they go farther?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the idea, I would wonder how far Harper and Schwarber can hit him. I mean, maybe out of Citizens Bank Park if they had an aluminum bat.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some guys in there with unbelievable pop. Like that guy Caglione, oh my goodness, his batting practices, he might put on a real show.
Sound like you kind of want to see that, though, Scott, a little bit.
I think probably fans would dig that, right? I mean, how many balls can you hit up into the third deck in left? Certainly for those left-handed batters.
Mm-hmm.
There's some targets way up there, you know, Ryan Howard territory up there. Those guys are all strong enough. I think they can do those things even with a wood bat, to be honest with you. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just worry about you do something like that and then all of a sudden it's so different. Maybe I know they're weighted and whatnot, but I just wouldn't want anybody to get hurt doing it.
Yeah, and that would be a concern because that's really too.
You mean like swinging too hard? You mean the fans?
No, the fans.
Oh, getting popped with. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, you gotta be careful out there. Scott Fransky joining us on a Fransky Friday. We're live at Chickies today. Scott, let's talk about the bullpen. I heard during one of the games, I think it might have been the first game of the Red Series, you on the broadcast talking about the bullpen in the last X number of weeks. Duran, zero ERA, and then everybody else in the bullpen, the ERA was over six. Now, last night, this series saw a couple things. One, Keller came back. And then two, last night, Bolin for the eighth inning. Scott, your thoughts on this bullpen in front of Duran and then Bolin last night. Do you think that was just Keller just got back, he can't do 2 days in a row? Or is Jonathan Bolin starting to put himself in the hierarchy now of maybe the trust rankings behind Duran?
Yeah, I think he's up there. When you ask Don Mattingly about who he trusts, you know, obviously he trusts Duran. Everybody knows that. But the other three guys, it's Bolin, Kirkring, and Keller. And I think to some extent he trusts them all. Now, Kirk had thrown a lot of pitches. He's been the eighth inning guy now here. He's had a couple of shaky outings. There was the one in New York. There was the one here the other night, or in wherever I am, Cincinnati the other night, that, you know, walked some guys. Command wasn't great. Threw 33 pitches. I do think they probably shied away from Keller just because he hasn't been back very long, but they do like the way Bolin's pitching. They also had Bolin up in the seventh inning, so they got him hot, and I think they're trying to maybe, you know, not, if they get a guy hot, if he's warmed and ready to go, let's get him into the game as well for the eighth. And given the other factors, you know, Keller's rust, Kirkering's unavailability perhaps, they felt like, let's just keep it with Bolin. So I like him. I think he's good, but I think they clearly need some left-handed relievers to step up or go find a new one because that's not working, clearly.
Well, you saw that a couple nights ago when they tried to get, you know, Ron Hell out of the game, and it just didn't work there with Tanner Banks. Scott, a question I didn't think we'd be asking this year, but I think it's gotten to the point where we have to ask it. Should we take the Marlins seriously? You know, I'm looking at the standings, and the Phillies have done a great job to almost catch the Braves, right? They're in position to be right there. But right there with the Phillies are the Miami Marlins with the exact same record. Scott, I think the only series they've lost in about a month was when they were here in Philadelphia a few weeks ago against the Phillies. Scott, what did you think of them then when we saw them compared to April and just in general, obviously what they've been doing in the month of June into July?
Well, I don't think they played particularly well necessarily. I do think they're a better team than some of those other mid-range clubs we had seen. And yes, you should take them seriously. If they've gotten to this point, almost 100 games in with that record, yes, you should absolutely take them seriously. They're in this race. Now, I don't know what they'll do going forward in terms of, you know, going out at the trade deadline and maybe adding pieces. I don't really know what their situation might be. Obviously, they have a really low-end payroll. I don't know if they've got more kids perhaps that they can bring up that they think will help, but absolutely I think they should be taken seriously because they've gotten to this point with the same record as the Phils. So if you're going to take the Phils seriously, I think you better take the Marlins seriously. Now depth always plays in, right? How well do you do? How can you keep it going another 50 or 60 games and keep yourself in the race? Injuries are a big part of that, so we'll see.
You know what, Scott? We're just sitting there thinking, and, you know, I know Andrew Painter has been back on the mound, and he's looking pretty decent right now. Is there any thought, two things, is there any thoughts about him potentially coming back up? And if he does, when you talk about that bridge to Deron, is it possible that you could probably put him in the bullpen, or do we still look at him as probably a starter?
I think they still view him as a starter, end of story. Now, again, if he was really good in the second half, let's say he comes back in August, for instance, mm-hmm. and he's been a really good fifth starter. Well, if he's a really good fifth starter, he might become your fourth starter. If he's a decent fifth starter, maybe there's that spot where you put him in your bullpen in the playoffs as a long man. I don't think they'll make him into a everyday type of reliever guy. You know, let's say, you know, like, for instance, Sasaki started at times and was in the minors and then came back as a reliever. I don't think we'll see that, because I don't think they want to put any additional, you know, strange stress on his arm coming back from injury, all these other things. They view him as a starter. Long term, he's a starter in their minds, and I just think he stays on that kind of path. Now, again, we're talking about hypotheticals that require him to pitch a whole lot better, not only in AAA, but then, you know, jumping back to the big league. So I think there's a lot of hurdles to clear there.
There are. We hope he clears them, and they probably can use another arm as this thing goes along down the stretch of the season. Scott, enjoy Detroit. We'll be listening. Final series before the break. Thanks for hopping on, and we'll catch up next week.
Thanks a lot.
Sounds good.
There you go. Scott Fransky with us there, as he is every Friday. The Sasaki thing you brought up at the end is interesting. You know, Huey, now he said he doesn't think the Phillies will do that, but there are some parallels. Like, Roki Sasaki was a young pitcher the Dodgers brought over from Japan. He did not have a great rookie season, right? Like, the way Painter didn't pitch well this year. But then they got to October, and they were like, well, we got all these other starters. What do we do with him? Our bullpen is a mess. He helped. I mean, I know Scott's saying he doesn't think they'll do that, but to me, they have to have that in their mind. Like, if he can help us win, he can help us win.
Yeah, if anything, you're looking for a bounce back. You're looking for something to help him, you know, number one, build his confidence and try to get him back up here.
Right.
You know, so if that's the case, then you got to do what you got to do. But I'm kind of with Scott. They still probably look at him as a frontline starter at some point, and so they're going to try to work that angle before they do anything else.
So just to put context to it, so last year Sasaki as a rookie for the Dodgers, 4.46 ERAs. I mean, better than Painter was doing, but not great. Then he went to the bullpen in the playoffs, pitched to a 0.84 ERA in 10.2 innings. I mean, he helped them win the World Series. Now this year he's back to the rotation. We'll see where his career goes. But I think there are some parallels there. 215-592-9494. Today we are live from Chickie's and Pete's in South Philly for National Crab Fry Day. $1 crab fries and $5 pitchers of Miller Lite. Proceeds benefit the Philadelphia FOP charity. Do the Sixers need LeBron? Your reaction to all the Philly stuff? It doesn't seem like you like this Bryce Harper idea. Scott's into it.
No, man, I didn't understand it. Now that I have a better understanding of what it is, it's just, I get it. I mean, it sounds exciting, but he's talking about the injury factor for the people involved.
Well, I will tell you, so I'm going. I'm going to be sitting behind home plate. If they're going to have an aluminum bat, I'm glad I don't have myself and the kids in the outfield. Because the ball will scream to the outfield. That like I'll watch it from
a lawsuit.
I'll watch it from behind home plate.
Yeah, it's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Well, I don't know if it's a lawsuit.
They got hit in the eyeball. Somebody sue, you know, people sue for everything.
A lawsuit. You're going to a home run derby. You got to pay attention.
People.
Head on a swivel.
Yeah. I mean, you would think.
Well, I would say the home run derby is not one of those things to have your head in your phone. Like, if you're in the outfield in the home run derby, pay attention. All right, 215-592-9494. Back to the phone lines here. To the Sixers need LeBron. And we have intel that LeBron is listening today. Your pitch to LeBron James. Best one we hear today wins a pair of tickets to tonight's HBCU Swingman Classic at Citizens Bank Park at 7 p.m. Aaron is in San Diego up on WIP. Aaron?
Good afternoon, Philadelphia. Thank you.
Aaron, what's going on?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, a funny thing happened last night. Mm-hmm. The wife and I were sitting at the bar, and we're having an adult beverage. In front of us, there was this bowl of peanuts. One of the peanuts says, "Wow, that's a great head of hair you have." Another peanut says to my wife, "Wow, you are smoking hot." Curious, I called the bartender over and says, "Hey, dude, what's going on with these peanuts?" Bartender looks at me and says, "Oh, those peanuts? Complimentary." Oh.
Yeah. got it.
Oh, my gosh. It's awful.
You didn't laugh, though. Like the last
I mean, it wasn't funny.
Oh, okay.
But I got it. I caught that one.
Are we now just working material? Is that where we're
going to? I mean, see, he says, I guess he says since we got him a laugh track.
Yeah.
Okay. That's Kyle's
fault. So, hey, Hugh.
Yes.
I understand where this whole, you know, Joe Giglio fanboy LeBron James is coming from. I think there's a little hint of jealousy, you know, with the fame and fortune that you gained from your hold the line bit with A.J. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I think Joe saw an avenue, and I think he stuck to this, you know, bring LeBron James here, you know, this hold the line, and it's just not hitting like it should. You know, do the Philadelphia 76ers need LeBron James?
Yes.
The answer is absolutely not, okay? Would LeBron James make the Philadelphia 76ers better?
Yes.
Maybe. Would they?
We need to time out on the
no.
Maybe. What do you mean maybe LeBron James would make the Sixers better? I mean, are we serious? Maybe?
He's 42. Is he going to be on the court or is he going to be in the training room, dude?
Where's he been his whole career? On the court. Whole career is on the court.
It doesn't, Joe, matter.
Sure it does.
Okay, because he's not coming here. It's not a championship tour for him next year. It's a retirement tour.
That's fine. But the idea that maybe he would make them better is the most preposterous thing anyone has said on this radio station the entire week.
Well, hold on. I don't know if it's like chemistry and basketball matter, does it not?
But you think he'd make them worse?
I think there's a middle ground between making them better and making them worse.
I just think we're overthinking this, guys. This is a great basketball player.
Well, maybe, but I mean, maybe. I'm just saying, like, it's not completely preposterous to suggest that it's not a lock that he'll make the Sixers better.
Well, I do. I mean, now, okay. is it enough of a lock that, or enough of a needle mover that you're willing to do it? That's where we all kind of differ on this. But I, Aaron, do think he makes them a better basketball team. I mean, I've never seen LeBron James on LeBron James has been on winning teams his whole life. Whole life. Like he's going
to
come here. It's not going
to
work.
Listen to what Kyle is saying.
See, I don't
not
like
about
I don't like
the Sixers next year. Every game, it's going to be a sideshow.
Yeah, it's
with
about me.
What gift is the team giving LeBron James? The one thing that LeBron James loves to talk about is himself. And when you make it all about yourself, it's not a team, man. And this. Gansey has a plan. We got to stick to the plan. It doesn't include LeBron James.
Again,
on the outside.
Gansey's so, trying to get my, LeBron James. We did this yesterday. You keep saying Mike Gansey's got a plan. Yeah, hold on. You keep saying Mike. Listen, the Sixers know what they're doing. Mike Gansey knows what he's doing. Mike Gansey is pursuing LeBron James. Am I missing something here?
No, I think he's just doing it for smoke and mirrors. I think he
has. Oh, sure.
The way that he worked the Jaylen Brown, trade where nobody saw it coming. I think he might have something under his sleeve, and he might be working something on the side and using LeBron James as just a smokescreen.
We're using LeBron James as a smokescreen. The Sixers are. Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right. So what would be your pitch to LeBron, Aaron?
All right. So it's a Michael Jackson classic.
I don't give a shit.
Just beat it. Nobody wants you around here. Just beat it. Beat it. Just go ahead and disappear. We'll beat you and we'll kick you and we'll make you disappear. Just beat it. I like
how he did that on the fly.
Yeah. Shut up, Aaron. All right, that's enough.
God.
Aaron.
I'm okay with that. I mean,
okay
I want
that?
Him here, but I'm just saying that the
I don't
the
art, think you want LeBron here. I've gone the other way on this.
It's the artistic version
it's
of
clear.
His song.
It's clear, he does not want LeBron.
You don't want LeBron.
No, I do want him. No. It would be exciting.
Not,
you're,
not
you
bad
know
enough.
How exciting
not
between
bad
you
enough.
How it,
you don't want it bad enough.
And backing Aaron?
I don't want it bad enough.
After that
Kyle,
crack?
You don't want him at all. So
right.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, so
at least
it takes one to know one.
10 toes down.
Come over to my side, buddy. I can tell.
I want LeBron.
You're closer to me than you are Joe. I just see it. I can smell it.
I don't need him here.
At least Kyle's 10 toes down. I mean, he's 10 toes wrong, but he's 10 toes down. You're over here half-assing this and telling me about the Reading Terminal Market.
Excuse me, sir. Reading Terminal Market is the number one market in America. The Amish make some fire-ass ribs, like I told you. That's a hell of a pitch. And
Amish.
It's dollar craft fries. Do you see these craft fries that I'm trying to munch on and not chewing cows here? These tasty craft fries?
Yeah, that you're eating during the segment?
Yeah, I ate like one or two.
Yeah.
But I didn't chew heavy. But, yeah, the craft fries. And the back room at Chicken Piece where it's just the speakeasy. This is a nice area to play basketball.
It's wonderful.
And the fans will love you.
This would have been a great pitch at 10:40 when I threw it at you instead
of it is what it is. You caught me off guard.
I didn't.
A little bit.
We set up tri-day. We talked about what it is.
Yeah, we did. But then you asked me what my pitch would be. And I was still workshopping it when you asked me. It caught me off guard with that one. But I bounced back.
You are clearly in the same camp.
You didn't really bounce back.
I bounced back. My bounce back game is pretty strong.
I disagree.
I mean, Aaron singing that he doesn't want him was actually a better pitch than
it was.
Doing,
no, that was definitely not a better pitch.
Let's go to Bam. I'm sure Bam in Upper Darby has a hell of a pitch. Bam,
Bam singing?
Nope. Bam?
See.
Hey, Bam.
I mean, I even just checked in with him 5 minutes ago because I knew this was going to happen. Guy is the worst.
It is every time.
Yeah, it's every single time. He's never there.
Does Bam call during work? What do you think Bam does? What do you think he's like? You place the phone. I'm just trying to get into Bam's head.
Maybe a forklift operator.
No. You think Bam and Upper Darby is a forklift operator?
He literally can't see.
Why do you look at me like you can't believe I just said he might be?
No,
he's not.
They got stuff.
No,
that's
OSHA,
a little dangerous.
OSHA is a thing. Yeah, that's not. They would not allow that.
Okay.
He can't see. He's not operating.
As far as you know.
No, well.
First of all.
Are we
since
really
we're here.
Debate this?
No, but first of
we're
all, like, there's, first of all, there's been a lot of times that Bam says he's blind, but he says and he knows about certain things that lead you to believe that you kind of wonder.
Well,
I'm not saying he is.
To fabricate things, I will say. Bam.
That's all I'm saying. Yep. I don't know what Bam is, but it's fair to say that.
Not a forklift operator, though.
Sometimes Bam, Bam says things that makes you wonder, okay, what's really going on?
Well, I get that, but there's no way he's a forklift operator. He's
not the first thing that popped in my head.
He's not a bus driver. None of these things.
Maybe not a bus driver. Maybe he's an Uber driver.
Would you get in that Uber?
Yeah, I'll ride with Bam.
Bam picks you up. You're getting in and going.
Yeah.
All right, he's back, we think.
Bam.
I don't buy it.
Nope, dropped off.
Bam.
Guy's unbelievable.
I didn't buy it for a second.
What is he doing?
Right, I didn't buy it.
What are we doing?
What are we doing? I mean, that's what I've been asking you for 2 hours. What's the pitch to LeBron James?
I'm saying come to Philly, win a championship. Enough said.
No, you gotta.
In the mortal words of Al Morganti.
Enough said.
Come to Philly, win a championship.
I've been tracking our chances to get LeBron on.
Yeah, now they're dropping.
They're getting worse. Every time Hugh has a pitch, it gets worse. We have less of a chance to get this guy. All right, coming up, 215-592-9494. We'll get to all your phone calls, including Bam, if he wants to get off the forklift and call us.
That's it.
We also, along with the LeBron conversation and the Phils, we want to react to a couple things Brandon Graham said this morning on Good Morning Football. Interesting stuff from BG this morning on Good Morning Football. Also, we do have something along, and we have the tickets to give away for later on, but it is a Friday here. You know what we do on Fridays, right?
Yes. Tri-day?
Besides that.
What else we do?
don't sound so enthused.
No, I'm just saying, I'm a little nervous. We do tri-day, but then he said, what else we do on Friday?
Well, we also talked to Scott.
Oh, we talked. Yeah, we did that already.
I'm not
though.
Putting you on the spot.
We did that already, though. Like, is this something?
You don't have to say anything. I thought you might remember we do the Fanatics.
Oh, yeah.
Fridays.
No, I got that. I was ready.
So
you were not. Were you ready for literally anything today?
No, listen.
Why did you even show up?
No, listen. When he said it, I got the read in front of me, and I was getting ready to do the read.
So you did know what I was about
to
do.
No, but when you said it, you made me nervous like it was something new. It was something different.
We do this every Friday.
Okay.
Every single one. Anyway, Fanatics Fancast Fridays are powered by Fanatics Sportsbook, America's fastest growing sportsbook. Be the third caller on our station contest line, 445-544-8300. Right now, 445-544-8300 for your chance to win $100 in Fancast from Fanatics Sportsbook every Friday. Winning gets different here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
As world soccer hits the big stage, Fanatics Sportsbook is making every game they watch phenomenal. Earn up to 10% fan cash back on your soccer bets, win or lose. That's real extra value. You can unlock every match all tournament long. Fancast isn't just for betting. You can also use it anywhere in the world of Fanatics. Or on game day tickets, you can use it on merchandise, you can use it on collectibles, profit boost, and more. One ecosystem, endless ways to spend. Plus, New customers get up to $1,000 in fan cash. That's a $100 bet match in fan cash every day for the first 10 days. The world is ready. Are you? Fanatic Sportsbook, winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-MY-RESET. Not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatic Sportsbook app.
Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. Couple things to tell you guys about. Number one, we are live today from Chickies and Pete's in South Philly for National Crab Fry Day. Hugh, how are the crab fries today?
Oh, they're good, man. I ran out of cheese, so, you know, you kind of run out of cheese. This is a wrap.
I'm sure they have
They
more.
Got plenty there.
But
we're working.
That's never stopped you before.
Sound like you're a little bit jealous because I'm eating these crab fries. They're going to be dollar crab fries all day, though.
Come on down. Yeah, after the show, Kyle, you come down. Yeah. Everyone else should come down. And $5 pitchers of Miller Lite. Now, that's a deal. Proceeds benefit the Philadelphia FOP charity. You know, I just thought about this, Hugh. Now I feel like, you know, you think about how prices change, inflation. So today, a really good deal, right? A $5 pitcher of Miller Lite's a good deal?
Yeah.
When I was in college, they used to have dollar pitchers.
Oh, yeah, that's a party.
Yes.
What was it? Like some good beer, though, right? Weren't drinking like Natty Light or nothing like
that,
right?
No. It was Miller Lite, but we have here today for the $5.
Okay.
$1 pitchers back in the day. That was what the prices were back then. All right. One other thing to tell you about, and then we got to let you hear from Brandon Graham. He said a couple things on Good Morning Football today we thought were really interesting. 94 WIP, guess what it is, Hugh? It's home for MLB All-Star Week, and we're going to be broadcasting ESPN Radio's national coverage of Home Run Derby
Monday night.
And we have it right here on WIP at 8 p.m.
Get out of town. No, I'm not lying. Look at God.
Why would I lie about this? Following the Home Run Derby, 94 WIP will air the Odyssey Sports Midsummer Baseball Showcase special presented by Bet365. Then, on Tuesday night, beginning at 8, we'll bring you the ESPN Radio national broadcast of MLB, the All-Star Game, right here on WIP. Odyssey Sports Midsummer Baseball Showcase Special is brought to you by Bet365. Bet365, where winning is everything. Download the Bet365 app and lock in your picks before the game begins. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in select states only. So that is great. Plus, we have to give a shout out to Sean Shell, who is our winner today, Hugh, of the Fanatics Fancast Friday, which we do every Friday, as we know.
Shout out. Yeah, we do know. No, I'm not eating the fries now. But no, when Joe said it, I had the read in front of me. He just kind of caught me off guard. I forgot we did it on Friday.
You know, it's like an alley oop, and then the guy that's slamming it home is like, "Am I supposed to dunk it?" Like I was just yeah, you were just the alley-oop.
Yeah, yeah.
Just tossing
FanDuel,
it up to you.
Shout out to FanDuel.
Fanatics.
Them too. Yeah, it's a rough one.
Yeah,
it's
right.
All right.
I had two conversations going on in my head at the time.
Just awesome.
Yeah. They make sure they don't hear that part because it might be a wrap for that.
All right. We're going to.
Come on.
Fanatics.
Yep.
Fancast.
$1,000. All right. I need a second to compose myself. So can we hear Brandon Graham? Because I'm not going to make it any further. We don't. BG this morning on Good Morning Football. First, let's hear the one where he's talking about Jalen Hurts, the A.J. Brown trade, and kind of the recent story of Jalen working out with the wide receivers. Just the whole specter of where the Eagles are now versus the A.J. trade. Play it because I need to laugh for about 20 seconds. Here you go.
I think it's going to be great this year for both sides because everybody's happy. You know, you don't want to be in-house frustrated over things that sometimes you can't control. And I understand, you know, where he is, where he was when he was here. And as a receiver, I do understand that it's all about production. And some people handle it differently. I mean, I wouldn't have probably handled it the way he did, but at the same time, I can get exactly why he was frustrated. And so I think that it's going to be a great year for both parties because, I mean, he's coming out excited just like the team. I think that them guys are getting better. I've seen that they was down in Florida together. And that's something that we haven't had in some years now because of the frustration. So I think it's going to open up a lot of doors for a lot of people, especially Devontae. Can't wait to see the new additions, who kind of takes that lead in training camp as receiver. But I know somebody's going to step up this year, and we played them in training camp this year, so I know.
Oh, yes.
Q, and all them boys can't wait to lock up AJ.
All right, so a couple things there. I mean, one, at the end, he hits on the event of August, which, of course, is the Eagles and Patriots joint practice, the must-win joint practice.
Must-win.
That's going to change our win total for the season based on how it goes. But, Hugh, the way he framed that, I'm curious if you heard it the same way I did. So he's talking about, you know, AJ's gone, right, and everyone's moving on, how we handled it. And he's talking about Jalen working out with the receivers down in Florida recently.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm paraphrasing, but almost something we couldn't do in the last few years because of the frustration. Did you hear that?
Yes, it did.
Well, that's, I mean, maybe we thought that, but that's the first time anyone has said, hey, the reason why Jalen and the receivers are not working out in the offseason last few summers is because of the tension between AJ and Hurts. That's wild.
Yeah, it is, but there's a lot to unpack with that. And, you know, shout out to Brandon for going on there and saying it like that. This year, because they're working out in Florida this
yep.
year. But what about the other years?
Well, he said it. It's because of the tension. They didn't.
But my thing is this. Like, there are times when receivers can't come to things of that nature, right? But that doesn't mean everybody doesn't come because one person's disgruntled.
So you're saying they could have had it, and then AJ didn't want to go, he didn't want to go.
I'm just workshopping it, Joe, because I'm looking like – I know what it sounds like on the surface. But you also have a dimension of, you know, you got Mannion here. You have a new offense, and there's a lot of speculation about whether or not Jalen can adapt to this new offense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there might be a little bit – two things might be true. That's all I'm saying. Because
you're saying maybe they feel a need to do it more this year than they have in years past.
Yes, because as a quarterback, like just as an example, Donovan. Remember, Donovan used to do that in Arizona. He used to have him catch fly to Arizona every year.
It's pretty common.
Yeah, like he used to do that every year, regardless of what. And if some people could come, they could. If they couldn't, the running backs, whoever, they'd come hang out, you know, fellowship and all that other stuff. I don't know if this has happened in the past with – Jalen and the rest of the receivers. I don't know. But the fact that it's in the forefront now, it just kind of makes you wonder what that's about. Now, part of it could be because of the tension. But also it could be because, you know, you're trying to get up to speed with Mannion's offense and the timing of the offense and everything like that. So two things could be true in this situation.
Yeah, I mean, look, the good thing is they're doing it now.
Yeah, they're getting it done. I mean, they're getting ready for the season. That's all that matters.
It's a good thing. You know, I think it's two things. One, the rapport, especially because there's a lot of – I mean, how many pass catchers are here that were here last year?
Devontae
and Goddard, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I know Darius Cooper and Johnny Wilson, but they're down the depth chart. They have a lot of new people that Jalen's never worked with. Johnny Munt, a new tight end. The Sowers kid, a new tight end, a second-round pick. All the new receivers between Lemon and Wicks and Elijah Moore and Hollywood Brown. So it's a lot of new. So maybe Jalen feels like he really needs to – he hasn't had reps with these guys. He needs it.
But even with that being said, Joe, the last couple of years you've had some new receivers. You got the one from the Commodores a few years ago.
Yeah.
You've had a few receivers.
Jahad Dotson,
yeah. You've had a few receivers that you've had to work with. Now, I'm not saying that it's a big deal, but it does kind of make you wonder when you're talking about – being in a position where you're trying to build a rapport with guys and the receiver room has been changing as much as it has been. I just look at it, and I'm not looking at it sideways, but I'm just like, okay, so you decided to do this year, but it hasn't, from all reports, hasn't been done the previous years with so many changes on the offense.
Which leads me to believe the AJ Jalen thing was probably even worse than we knew.
Yeah, but
it,
even
it had to be. I mean, Brandon's saying like it was – he's basically but saying even it if was that, so awkward they didn't want to do work
but,
together.
But even if that's the case, Joe, everybody else still needs to get that work.
I know. So look, that's a bad – Jalen should still do it, if that's what you're alluding to.
Yeah, everybody else still needs to get that work.
But I do think – my guess is more stories will come out slowly. There'll be drips of it over the next few months.
Yeah.
There's going to be a spin on, hey, things are good now. Hey, things are harmonious now. And, hey, guys, they really were not harmonious before. Like, you think it was bad? It was actually worse than you think.
I mean, this is and to be honest, I feel like this is more out of necessity than anything. Like, it's great that it's out there. It's great that we're talking about it. But I think this is out of necessity. I really do.
All right, we got one more from BG this morning. Good Morning Football, about the Eagles getting back on track here.
for us on defense, we have the same coach, coordinator, and that helps going into the offseason. All he had to do is tweak certain things that he's seen from the film, and then we just continuously keep building, keep stacking. I know that they're going to have an even better year this year because, of course, we got the same players, majority of the same players. You got Zach Bond in the middle. We lost N'Kobe, who was a great leader on our defense, but I know a lot of guys like Jihad is going to step up because he had a good season last year, good rookie season. And so with Cooper is a baller, man. I mean, he's athletic, a guy that can adjust. He's a ball player, so I'm not worried about him. You get Jalen Carter in there, man. Ooh, this team is going to be – I'm excited, man, for the defense because I think that's our strong point until the offense figures everything out and figure out their identity. But I know that they will know their identity this year because I think Mannion is already stepping in a great position. He's already in a great position because of the players he has on his team. They're hungry. Seem like them guys are loving each other even more and trying to build this thing. But on defense, man, I'm expecting them boys to be just as great as they have been the last 2 years.
You know, it's interesting here with the defense because you could look at it one of two ways. There's the Brandon way of looking at it. Like, this is the third year in this system. A lot of young guys. They'll be better, right? And you can make a good case that Jalen Carter will be better than he was last year, that Quinyon and Cooper just keep getting better, that they'll be better. At the same time, he also mentioned N'Kobe, right? That's a loss. I mean, N'Kobe Dean.
Yeah, and it was obvious. It was obvious that Vic trusted him.
Yep.
Because you had the other young linebacker, Jahad Campbell, starting, and then you take him out and put N'Kobe back in there because you felt more comfortable with that. So Jahad has some big shoes that he's going to have to fill.
So we lost N'Kobe. We also lost Reed Blankenship. Now, yeah. I don't think people are going to lose sleep over Reed Blankenship, but they have to have someone at least back there that's as good as Reed, right?
And not only that, we really didn't – when you talk about the offseason, we really didn't replace it. We're kind of – you know, there's some speculation that maybe Coop is going to play that position. Maybe he's going to be a little bit more – yeah. He's going to be a little bit more versatile.
I'm pretty sure
they have an answer for that.
Epps?
But, yeah, maybe.
The seventh round pick out of Texas
maybe,
Tech, maybe.
Maybe. But it's going to be something that you hope that front seven is going to put enough pressure on the quarterback so it takes some of that pressure off that back end.
All right, let me ask you a question. I don't think you and I have discussed it this way. When Kyle was in for you last week, him and I had a discussion about this. I'm gonna ask it to you a little different than I threw it out last week. Do you think the Eagles' defense will be better than last year? The same as last year or a little bit worse? Now, remember, last year they were not number one, right? 2 years ago, that was the best defense in the league.
Yeah.
Last year, I we could pull up the numbers. I would, if I had a guess, I'd say somewhere between 5 and 10, like they were last year.
I'm going to say better.
Better.
Because you have a
better. Well, that puts them back to elite status.
Well, you got a better pass rusher.
In
Grenard, you have a better pass rusher.
We did lose Phillips, though.
Yeah,
that's
but.
It's kind of a wash.
Well.
Or you think Grenard's better?
Well, he's more, like, to me, Phillips was. He was more like, I know they're both linebackers, but he skewed more linebacker than defense. If that makes sense, you know what I mean. He was a guy, you know, he had a couple sacks, but he was more of a finesse kind of guy. Like Grenard is a guy who's had his hand in the dirt. You know, he's a little bit more gritty. So I think there's a benefit to that because now you understand run fits a little bit better and you understand how you fit into the defense when you're trying to, you know, set the edge and things of that nature. I think a lot of times when Phillips was out there, you know, he didn't do a good job of setting the edge, you know, and he didn't do a good job of identifying what they were trying to do to him at times, and it probably cost him a couple sacks. So I think you to have a guy out there who that's his job, that's his number one job description. Now, he's going to have to drop and do all this other stuff. But your number one job description is to get to the quarterback. I think that's a little bit more beneficial to this defense.
The other X factor on defense is Reek Woolen, right? Like that
yeah,
could
the
be
big an, corner.
That could be an area where they're way better than they were last year.
Yeah.
If he fits and he's as good as, I mean, people think he could be. When they had that list a couple days ago, the top 10 corners in the NFL. So there's like the top 10, right? Cooper and Quinyon were on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to the honorable mention section. Reek Woolen got some votes. Like, he's looked at as a very talented player. That's a huge upgrade over Adoree Jackson.
Yeah.
I mean, Adoree Jackson was just a guy.
So when you think about it.
Better a corner.
Well, you got three.
Three corners.
You got three elite corners,
okay.
Right?
Potentially, right?
You have a question
at safety.
At the secondary.
Two
questions in the secondary department. But you got those three elite corners.
Yep.
That's a pretty decent secondary. You know what I'm saying? You're not gonna be elite at every position, but I feel like you have a chance. You're at the three levels. You know, the linebacker, and the secondary. You have at least two to three players on each level that's gonna kind of balance it out a little bit.
Yeah, and look, there are question marks, but if things go right, they should be better than last year. Because last year they were. I didn't think they turned it on until after the bye last year. The first half of the season defense.
Then you're probably looking at since we're here workshopping it, you're probably looking at maybe Jordan Davis takes another leap, you know, and if Jordan Davis takes another leap, right, and we get, just to be optimistic, a better Jalen Carter.
Well, I think we'll get a better Jalen Carter.
Yeah, we're in a pretty good spot.
Well, don't forget Ojomo. Ojomo quietly had like five sacks last year.
Yeah, and Hunt, Jalen Hunt.
And do we get a Nolan Smith back?
Maybe. Yeah, you know, I read something where they're talking about him potentially have a bounce back year this year.
Well, it's a huge year for him in terms of his contract. Yeah. All right, 215-592-9494. You can weigh in on that. I mean, the interesting part really was the receivers working out with Jalen, maybe why in the past they weren't doing that. Plus, your take on, do the Sixers need LeBron James? And your pitches. The best pitch we hear today wins the tickets tonight. HBCU Swingman Classic at Citizens Bank Park. Tom in Elkins Park is up with us on WIP. Tom?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Tom. What's going on?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Tom.
First time caller. I really enjoyed the show. I really enjoyed the honesty and transparency and the insight. It was fabulous.
A lot of insight.
Well, we appreciate you being part of it, Tom. Thank you, Tom. We appreciate you.
Keep it a bean.
Always. Tom, what are you thinking today? What's your pitch to LeBron?
My pitch is 24 years ago, when LeBron entered into the draft, I bought 15 LeBron James cards. And I'm a big LeBron James fan, and my whole thing is, I've said this here openly, and I say it again now on WIP. I think he's the most valuable all-around player to ever play the game. And I know he would be an asset that he would make the Sixers that much more better. Not knowing that he would be as great as he is, and I've worked as far as, but I saw him in the same category as a Michael Jordan.
Finish the job. Tom, I like it. How about this? This is a guy, and Tom, we appreciate you, buddy.
I don't think we can send that pitch because his phone's
off. I know. I feel bad because Tom had it.
I know.
He's been sitting on that for 23 years. He bought 15 cards of LeBron when he got drafted. He's been sitting on it.
I didn't hear none of that.
Oh, I heard that part. Then it got a little choppy there.
It was a little choppy. But I feel bad
for Tom. I want to send that to LeBron, that pitch.
So he wants LeBron to come in because he got 15.
Well, no, he's what I heard was he said skin in this game for 23 years.
Okay,
he's believed in him from the start. He thinks he's the greatest all-around basketball player ever, which that is a fair way to look at his career. Right?
Yeah.
He could do more things with his size than Michael could.
Yeah.
But, whatever. But it would have been a great pitch if we could hear it better.
Yeah, I mean, we gotta clean that phone up, or at least get in an area where we can actually hear it. It sounded like, from what you're telling me, it was a pretty strong pitch.
What I'm telling you.
Yeah, because I couldn't hear it.
Well, we did our best. Let's go to Scott, who's
Tried
up next.
My best.
What's up, Scott?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Scott.
What's up, Scott?
I'm going to cut a promo to get LeBron here, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I need some music, though. I need that Rocky theme.
Kyle, you got him?
You got to talk to Kyle about that.
Come on, Kyle.
What happened?
He wants the Rocky music. He needs to cut a promo here. Oh. Say.
I need to cut that promo. I'm going to get him here.
All right.
You got it, Scott.
What you going to do, brother? 30 years ago, Hulk Hogan crossed the line and joined the NWO and took his career to new heights. What you going to do when LeBron and the millions of LeBraniacs come to Philadelphia and bring that championship after 43 long years? What you gonna do?
That's it?
That was... See, that's why not everyone gets the music.
He set himself up for failure.
I mean...
I gotta say, I was...
Completely lost his music privileges.
I was into it. I thought we were going somewhere.
Thought you were gonna bring a little bit more to the table?
Well, I mean, if you're gonna run a race, you can't just tap out.
No.
What was that? A sixth of the way in?
Like, I mean, it was. Yeah, it was a horrendous.
Sixth of the way in is crazy.
Whatever. I mean, whatever. A quarter of the way in. I mean,
all six.
What? Whatever. I mean, you can't just tap out that quick. If you're going to run the race, you got to run the race.
What you going to do? I'm done. That was kind of like.
Scott had an idea. I really think Scott had an idea.
Hey, and he probably called for
I got to tell you, I don't think he's coming here, especially now after.
No,
he was underwhelmed.
We've done a horrendous job.
We've ruined it.
Way better.
When he chooses the Cavs this weekend, it's our fault, and specifically Hugh.
What do you mean?
You know, Hugh set the bar so low, and somehow nobody's been able to clear it. Besides Torrey, who sang.
Yeah. Torrey is the leader in the clubhouse still. Now we had a phone connection issue there. That might have been good. That cutting the promo, you can't just tap out that quick.
He said, Kyle, play that music.
He did. He was had a lot of bravado to play the music.
Oh, boy, that was horrible.
And then we had, I mean, again, you're to blame for this.
What did I do?
Because you were the first voice that was on this show today.
Caught off guard.
No.
It's my story. Stick to it. I bounced back, though. I said dollar crab fries. And Reading Terminal.
I'm not sure if you know what bounce back means.
Yeah.
Bounce back means we all feel better.
You didn't feel better? Dollar Crab Fries. I know who did feel better that I said the Dollar Crab Fries at Chicken and Pete's. Pete, because I slid that in there.
For
Philadelphia icon.
Yes. For us.
Pete Scirocco, right there.
And for regular people, the Dollar Crab Fries are really clutch. You think LeBron's worried about a couple extra bucks?
I'd be like, LeBron, one Ohio brethren to the next.
There we go.
You know what I'll tell him?
You could have started with
where
that.
Was
hey, LeBron.
Where was
you
this
had
today?
It.
Hey, LeBron, I know your pops. Me and your pops used to be cool back in the day.
That true?
Yeah. His pops from my hometown.
Well, then why didn't you lead with that at 10:40?
Because when you asked me, I didn't know you was going to put me on the spot. Yeah, I didn't know that. But now that you got me workshopping, yeah.
It's even worse that you had a pitch deep down.
You were an actor. And you don't know how to improvise?
Caught me off guard, Kyle. I had other stuff on my mind. Listen, full disclosure.
Okay.
I was over here, and when Joe was asking me, I'm trying to figure out how to fix my 3D printer. Man, I broke my 3D printer.
Now we got to the bottom of this.
I broke my printer, and I'm trying to figure out, because I have to change the extruder, and I got to do it myself. And ain't no YouTube videos to show me how to do it. Okay. So I gotta like read directions and understand them.
In other words, you weren't locked in.
You had the whole weekend to figure that out.
I just broke the printer. I just broke the printer the other day, and the part came today. I'm trying to fix that printer, dog. It's been two days for like two days, and it's bothering me.
It's four hours.
He caught me off guard, and Joe was like, "Hey, what do you have for a pitch? Why are you asking me? I wasn't prepared for that.
Why am I asking you?
But now I'm prepared.
This is your show.
I'm prepared.
Why am I asking you? The worst part is that you had a pitch deep down.
No, I'm just saying.
You knew,
I know your pops.
Know his dad.
Hey, LeBron, I know your pops.
You got to kind of have to lead with that.
I mean, I didn't. You know what? I didn't know it was going to be germane to the show until you put me on the spot. I led with Reading Terminal and Chicken and Peas. I thought that would be good enough.
You led with the wrong thing.
Rod.
Now you want to tell me.
All right, 215-592-9494. We'll get your phone calls up here. We're live today, Chickies and Pete's at South Philly. Be an all-star this week at Chickies and Pete's with a pregame snack. Watch all the action or a post-game celebration. All right, coming up, more of your pitches to LeBron James. Best one we get today. And the bar right now, it's really just Torrey. I mean, Hughes on the floor, anyone else in between. Your pitch to LeBron to get him here. Best one we hear gets the tickets, a pair, to tonight's Swingman Classic at Citizens Bank Park. Plus, we'll go on a blind date with a Phillies trade candidate. Who can they add? Do we want that player? Kyle will throw a resume at us next. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.